Today we have as our guest Ali Turnbull, who is here to talk about Remembering Not to Forget, a charity that she set up with a friend at the end of 2013 to fundraise to support people impacted by dementia. Good morning, Ali.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
It's lovely to see you again, because we talked about this charity that you started 3 years ago now, really in very early days. It must have been not too long after you began the whole idea.
It was very early days. I remember talking about the first few challenges that we were taking on.
And tell us why you started this charity. What is the reason behind it? And also your good friend from CHARD.
So I started the, we started the charity because my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2006. Initially the idea started that I wanted to do some fundraising for dementia charities, but I spoke to a friend of mine, Laura, about this, and she also has a close family member living with dementia, and she suggested that why don't we set up our own charity, and so it grew from there. We set up our own charity so that we could decide where the money would go, because all the money we raise we donate to other established charities doing a range of different work with people living with dementia.
Is that quite an unusual way of organising a charity, particularly in this medical side of life?
I think it's quite a common model for charities. For example, Comic Relief, a big charity, they do lots of fundraising and then give out grants to other charities.
That's true.
It seemed to us the most logical way of doing it, because this is something that we do around full-time jobs and our caring commitments, and so there was no way that we could establish our own projects at this stage. It's something that I'm interested in looking at in the future, if we can actually start developing projects and funding those, but that's still quite a long way off, I think.
So going back to the beginning, when your mum was first diagnosed, did you know absolutely nothing about Alzheimer's, the reasons why, the way it might develop? Was this absolutely, obviously a body blow to you and the family, but was it absolutely an unknown area?
It was quite unknown. I mean, I think Mum had been experiencing problems with her memory for quite a long time before her diagnosis. So it was something that we'd all sort of had in the back of our minds, but didn't really want to think about as a real possibility. So, when the diagnosis came, we all started having to find out a bit more about it. And to be honest, for quite a long time after the diagnosis, I didn't want to investigate. I didn't want to know what was coming. My coping mechanism isn't necessarily the most healthy, of just pretending that everything's okay and carrying on. But as things progressed, obviously we needed to investigate things more. And we were lucky in that Mum stayed quite stable for quite a long time, and so we didn't really have to look into the details that much at the early stages. But then as we did start looking into things more, and I realised how the provision for care is, there's lots of amazing organisations out there doing what they can, but there's so many gaps in terms of the funding that's available to those charities or to those organisations in terms of research and direct support to families and individuals living with dementia. And so that was when this idea started to do something more proactive, to raise some money to be able to support other families impacted by dementia. Also, Mum has always been a very active person in the local community. She did lots of fundraising for cancer research, for example. When she got her diagnosis, she joked that she'd been fundraising for the wrong charity all of these years. So setting up the charity, it was a way of sort of doing something in honour of my mum and other people living with dementia, but also on behalf of her, because she was no longer in a position to be able to do fundraising.
Mm. I know every year your mum would ring me, and I knew exactly what it was about when she was organising a collection for cancer research on the M5 services, and it was always, can you do the 11 till 1 slot, or whatever it is? And of course I did, because she reciprocated in so many ways as well. But I've always associated her with, this sort of absolute, kind commitment to charity. So it is ironic that this is happening to you and her. But obviously you quickly got wise about how dementia would develop, and that probably made you keener to run the challenges that you've been doing from the word go. So how much money have you raised so far? And tell us what kind of research might be coming from the money you are donating.
So we have, well, we've given out over £22,000 in grants so far to a range of different organisations.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, we're really pleased. And we're going to be doing another round of grants at the end of this year. But we've got a few more fundraising things coming up. So we'll wait to see what the total pot is to distribute then. One of the main things that we wanted to donate to was research. One of the organisations that we've given quite a lot of funding to is an organisation called BRACE, which is based at the University of West of England, and they give research grants out to researchers working in the southwest and in Wales as well. But in terms of broader progress in research, there's news stories all the time about progress that's being made, and there's lots of positive signs, but there's no definite cures or treatments being put out there. There was a news story at the beginning of September that is sounding very positive about a new drug that's been developed that helps to sort of get rid of all of the sticky plaques that form in the brain, which are the cause of the dementia, that sort of block the messages passing between the neuron, the synapses. I might be using the terms a little bit incorrectly, sorry.
It sounds impressive to me.
And so they sort of, yeah, they clear those out of the way, and so they sort of stop the progress of the dementia. So that's a really positive step, but it's very early days with that. But there hasn't been a new drug license in the UK to treat dementia in the last 10 years. And so, yeah, really hoping that there can be some more definite progress in the near future. And we're doing what we can to support that.
How many people in the UK are registered as struggling with Alzheimer's or dementia?
So at the moment, 850,000 people are thought to be living with dementia in the UK. That's according to Alzheimer's Research UK. But by 2025, that's expected to be over 1 million. And I think there'd be a lot of people who are living with dementia without having a formal diagnosis. I think people with early onset dementia in particular are less likely to go to the doctor and get a diagnosis. In the same way that our family, we had a feeling that something wasn't quite right, but we didn't want to have that confirmed because of all of the doom and gloom that you hear around dementia. And obviously dementia is a very difficult condition, but one of the messages that we are really trying to promote, and that other dementia charities are really trying to promote, is that it is possible to live well with dementia for a very long time. And even as things start to progress to a more advanced stage, that there's still lots of positives that you can find in very difficult situations. And that's something that's really important to us to get out there.
Mm. It seems like it's the case, as with many conditions, that you tend to think, good grief, there are many more people who are being diagnosed. Is it increasing madly, or is it, as perhaps you've suggested, that the diagnosis is so much better these days than it was a generation or two ago?
I think it seems to be a combination of both, from my understanding of the situation, that numbers are increasing, and I think there's some questions about whether that's to do with lifestyle and things like that, but that's why we're seeing higher numbers. But I think also the fact that people are being diagnosed more, and there's more awareness of dementia, and that it's not just about memory loss, that there's other symptoms and such a wide range of dementia conditions. So it's not just Alzheimer's. I mean, Alzheimer's is the most common, but there are so many different forms of dementia that affect people in different ways.
And you know, it's the difficulty of knowing when to tackle this situation, as you suggested with your mum. You know, you don't want to admit it, but the longer you leave these things, probably the more unhelpful it is. It's a real dilemma, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, that's why getting that message out there that it is possible to live well with dementia for a long time is so important, so that people do go to their GP if they are worried about that there might be signs of some kind of issue going on, to have that investigated so that that can be treated. And the drugs that are being developed, the one that I mentioned earlier, it's a drug that would work in the early stages, and so, you know, that makes it even more important that people are getting that diagnosis early.
There is a great deal more awareness of it. You said the diagnosis for your family came in 06, so that's 10 years. That's a long time, although in research terms it's not. But we're so much more aware of dementia now than, again, a generation ago. People speak about it more openly. Perhaps most of us know people in our families or circumstances that are struggling. You've got something on that, I think.
So 38% of the UK population, again, this is according to Alzheimer's Research UK, know somebody, a family member or a friend who are living with dementia.
38%.
So, and again, that could be higher. That is, yeah, I think the fact that so many people are affected by dementia means that it is something that's spoken about more commonly now. But again, it's something that through Remembering Not to Forget, we want to encourage people to be talking more openly about it. And, you know, like I said, in the early stages, it's something that I didn't want to talk about. I didn't really talk about it with my close friends. It's been so... One of the amazing things about Remembering Not to Forget has been being more open about dementia and the effect that it's having, has had on our family and is having on our family. But also being able to share that in other ways. So my sister and I have both been writing blogs about our family's experiences with dementia and putting that on the website. And that was, for me, a very difficult thing to do because I'm quite a private person, but also it was very therapeutic to be able to write those. And then the response we've had from people has been amazing, both people who have had close family members or friends and their own experiences of dementia who could, you know, identify with that, and also friends who have had no experience of dementia so far and be like, I had no idea that dementia could have that impact on people, that it isn't just about memory loss, that it also impacts language and spatial awareness and all of these things. And so, yeah, that's been a big positive as well.
Well, looking at your website before our conversation, it's a fantastic website. It's very detailed. And the blog is really wonderful because it's very natural and from the heart, from both of you, and it brings the whole thing into people's reach, if you like, as opposed to just a dusty old website with facts and figures or something, and then a donation box. You know, it gives you actually that personal perspective that really does come across, and some wonderful photographs as well, which is super. Compared with just 3 years ago when you began, it's really come on leaps and bounds, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a work in progress. We're very lucky. The co-founder of the charity, Laura, her now husband, is a IT expert, so he's been developing our website and adding things all the time, and it's been fantastic.
It's good to marry people with these fantastic skills.
Yeah, very useful.
Now, tell us, when you began this, you began with the aim of setting yourself targets and challenges, as you called them. And before you'd, I think, done anything, you know, or perhaps you'd done one challenge.
Done a couple, yeah.
You've got a whole set of challenges planned. Tell us what sort of things you've done, which ones have been uber successful, and then we'll talk about the future.
So in our first year, it was quite an intense year. So we had at least one challenge one challenge a month, every month for 10 months. And so it was quite intensive.
And you're both working full time and you don't live in this area. And that, golly, that's putting the pressure on.
It was a very intense year, but just so much fun as well. And I discovered new interests. So for one of the challenges was cycling London to Paris. And I think it was just before, I remember I'd just been on a training ride when I came in for the last interview, and I didn't have a bike before we set up Remembering Not to Forget. So I bought my bike in January and we cycled London to Paris in April. And since then I've had my bike all the time and I love it. So I got to discover a new hobby. So London to Paris was one of my top challenges, definitely. Really enjoyed that.
Just butting in there, did that initial idea, the cycling and so on, have anything to do and come out of the excitement that was engendered by the cycling at the 2012 Olympics?
I think that might have been in the back of my mind. I've got quite a few friends who are quite into cycling, and so also sort of being surrounded by them, but I think also their enthusiasm was upped by that, and
Yeah, I mean, I was obsessed with the Olympics, both.
Most of the country was.
In 2012 as well, and definitely obviously the success in cycling was so exciting to watch.
I mean, so many people now are out on the roads, particularly at weekends, you know, whole masses of people. So it's really, really taken off as a major participation in the sport. So how was that totally grueling, and how much money did you raise on that London to Paris?
There were grueling days, but overall, I mean, I felt like a bit of a fraud asking for sponsorship for it because I loved it so much. We raised over 1,000. I can't remember exactly how much, but it was definitely over £1,000.
But that really gave you enthusiasm to start the rest of the challenges, raise loads of money and enjoy it at the same time and get lots of publicity, which you did, didn't you?
We did, yeah. We've been trying to get as much publicity as we can to help with the money raising, but also as part of this general awareness raising of dementia and the importance of talking about dementia. Yes, it has. We've been doing what we can in that area.
You also did the big chill swim on Lake Windermere. Now that sounds freezing. I mean, those lakes are really deep. They're extremely cold, and you were swimming in them. I mean, I think that was to come when we spoke.
Yes, so that was actually part of, in February we did 10 cold swims, so in unheated water without wetsuits. The big chill swim was the first one. And again, that's something that I discovered that I really enjoyed, and I have done cold swimming since then. But I think that's one of the challenges that really captured people's imaginations, because everyone was just like, what are you doing? It's February, why are you swimming outside? Yeah. But that challenge actually came about because of Whippy Pool. So my mum was very involved in the fundraising committee for the pool, and we spent our childhoods in the pool. And mum was part of the committee who raised money to have the heating put in to the pool, and so that's sort of where the thinking started for the cold swims.
What a very nice connection. That's a lovely link, isn't it, to hear and so on. When you came to do that big swim in Lake Windermere, what was it like? Was it freezing?
It was very cold. So that one was actually part of a big organised event. It was quite a short swim. It was a race. It was coming out. Well, whenever you come out from the cold swims, it is just like being stabbed by lots of needles. But it's so invigorating. You come out and you do just feel very awake and alive, and it's a great feeling. And even being in the water, and it takes your breath away when you first get in because it is so cold. I loved it. Laura was less keen on the cold swims. I have to say that she had to really grit her teeth for those ones, and I think we sort of alternated in the ones that we found harder.
I was going to ask, is it basically you and Laura doing these challenges, or have you now got a core group of people who come anyway, and then people who come in on those challenges that they quite fancy?
So it's a mixture. In the first year, Laura and I did all of the challenges together, and at different stages we had some of the other trustees joining us for the challenges, and then in our second year of fundraising we intentionally took a bit of a step back because we'd been constantly pestering our friends and family to give us money. So in that second year we were very lucky in that some of our friends came forward and offered to raise money for us. So a friend of Laura's had all of his body hair waxed off his body, and raised quite a lot of money through that.
All of his hair? Head to toe?
Not his head, but all of his body hair. We had a friend of my sister's who very kindly ran the London Marathon. Well, she got a place in the London Marathon and very kindly offered to raise money for us. So
that's lovely, because those are very hard to get.
They are very hard to get. And so, we were very grateful to Joe for doing that for us. Another friend did the Chiltern 100. So it's a 100-mile bike ride, and raised money for us through that. And my sister Helen, she was away for much of the initial year. She was away travelling. But she took on a 10-kilometre run in 2015, which to a lot of people 10 kilometres isn't that far, but the Turnbulls are blessed with non-functioning knees, and so for Helen doing 10 kilometres was a really big challenge. And I think people realised what a big challenge that was for her. So.
And she managed to do it.
She did manage to do it in quite a good time as well, I think. So, yeah, she did very well.
So tell us, because we've an event to promote in a moment, and we'll carry on doing that on Ten Radio, but tell us what the next wodge of challenges are.
So again, we're trying to maintain that model of us doing some and then involving other people in that. And so next coming up, we've got the Underround, which is a running challenge that was established in London. So you go to all of the stations in Zone 1, running down to the platform and then coming back up again. And so it works out as about the distance of a marathon.
Gosh.
So we initially looked at that as doing it as a running challenge, but whenever I start doing training for it, my knees give up. So we've decided to do it as a walking challenge instead, but we're doing it in fancy dress to look as ridiculous as we can. So that's at the end of October. And then we have, after that, the
yes.
event that I'm here mainly today to promote.
But sticking with the this overround, underground, I mean, it's knackering enough in London, going up and down the tube, just in the ordinary course, getting from A to B to C, to run up and down the steps at every station in zone. I mean, I can't believe that. That would the knees would die, wouldn't they?
They would, yeah. And I mean, I think it's a brilliant running challenge for people who are into their running. And it's a real shame that we're not going to be able to do it as a running challenge. But I think, you know, we're still walking a marathon, which is still a very long way to be walking, especially when you're looking ridiculous.
And do you have to get permission from London Transport or whatever it's called, you know, the underground authorities, to do this?
To do the challenge, we don't have to get permission. We, to have a collection box on the way round, we would have to, but actually the way the permits run out, because it all gets a bit complicated, because you have to apply to different boroughs to be collecting as well, and so we're not going to be collecting as we go round. Officially, we'll just be asking people to sponsor us for our efforts.
Because that sort of administration, I could imagine, would be a real nightmare. Having to get permission and all of that, and you mustn't use the escalator today.
Oh no escalators, that's cheating.
And are we allowed to know what you're going to dress up as?
Well, that's still under discussion, but it will be based around our brand colours of blue and purple. Purple, as anyone who knows my mum, is a very important colour to my mother. So that, yeah, we'll make sure that purple features strongly.
That'll be fun. So when is that happening?
That's on the 23rd of October.
And then very shortly after that, on the 27th of October, is the event that, as you say, we're going to promote widely on Ten Radio. And this is a fashion show here in Wivy on Thursday, the 27th of October. Now, this is totally in support of Remembering Not to Forget. Give us an idea of what we're going to see on the evening, because certainly I'm coming to that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great event. So the event's being organised by Leslie Oliver and Alana Alder, who are friends of Mum and Dad and party planners extraordinaires, and they very kindly offered to donate the funds from this event to Remembering Not to Forget. So on the evening, the clothes and shoes will be donated by Kanya from Wellington, and they believe they also have a branch in Minehead, Wellington Boots, and I'll Alter Him. So there'll be a fashion show and also some stalls with nice things to look at and buy and try, and tickets cost £6, which includes a glass of Prosecco or a soft drink on arrival. And that will be happening at the community centre, and I think it's going to be a really lovely evening, so hopefully lots of people will be able to come along.
I don't think we've had a fashion show in with you for quite some time, actually, so Leslie and Ilana are good to plump for that. I can remember the last one, I'm sure, and it was yonks ago. So this is going to be rather jolly. So there'll be a catwalk down the middle of the community centre, and we'll all be looking like what's the name from Vogue, and Victoria Beckham, or sitting in the front row, and all of that rubbish. But mere £6, which includes a glass of something of your choice. This is on Thursday, the 27th of October, in Wivy Community Centre, starting at 7 p.m. And tickets are available for those who live centrally in Wivy Hardware, which is the simplest one. If you're in Wellington, Kanya, which used to be the frock shop, sort of near Wellington Boots in the main high street, that's where you can also pick up a ticket for just a £6 fee. So that's going to be lovely. Are you going to be modelling, Ali?
I'm not going to be modelling. I will be there on the evening and I'll be talking a bit about remembering not to forget, and I'll also have some information about the challenges and where the money has gone if people want to find out in more detail. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to the evening, but I'm not modelling.
Oh, well, that'll be good, because then you can hopefully pick up sponsorship for future events at that event as well. So by all means, we'll continue promoting the fashion show, and there'll be posters around town, I know. So we look forward to that one. But Ali, thank you so much for talking to us about Remembering Not to Forget today, and the work you've achieved and the money you've raised in just 3 years. It's quite fantastic. You must be very pleased.
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. The last couple of years and the response we've had from family and friends and from the local community as well. I mean, we had a quiz at the Bear in earlier this year, and people's responses there were just fantastic. It's been so great to see how supportive people have been, and we're so grateful to everybody for their support.
Well, I think it's because we have every empathy with this this cruel condition, and I think people just want to help in any way they can. And if it's done in a fun way, well, that's even better. Ali, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.